Nothing gonna hold me down. Oh no. I said, ain't nothing gonna break up my stride. Ain't nothing gonna hold me down. I got to keep on moving. That's what I would suggest to the Bombers, Jake. Just that song.
Just to keep on moving.
Yeah, just keep on moving. Just put it behind.
First loss of the year.
Well, technically, yes. Yes. Including preseason.
Oh, really technically. Technically. Couldn't happen to a nicer mob.
Yeah, thanks, Jake.
What a night.
I've stayed off Twitter since. I'm sure you tweeted something hilarious that would have got.
All the time, mate.
Plus 20 likes. Most of your tweets about Essendon do.
Yeah, I've got quite the following of anti-Essendon people.
It's not hard though, is it? You're either with Essendon or you're definitely not.
Yeah, that's very true. It's very true. It's a rare breed of nuff out there on the Twitter sphere from the Bombers' point of view. Yeah,
I won't lie, that is not, that's not incorrect.
Which makes it correct.
Yeah.
So, Benny, my man, big Levi Casbolt.
What about him?
He's had one of the great seasons. He was awesome last year and he's just started this season in fine form. And I've got a little bit of a present for you here. Something I prepared earlier.
What is it?
If we can just get the button man to hit play on that one for me.
What have you got here? Well, it's this?
The big clunk.
The clash. What have we got?
Casbolt. There's our new theme, I reckon.
Casbolt. You're bloody joking.
There's the new theme for the Magoos. I've become the fun one, and they've gotten a bit creative. And
out of everything that you've edited in this show, in its three seasons, that's what you come up with.
Rock the Casbolt. And it was even better for me to have to go through all three seasons worth of content to find you saying Casbolt, because that was quite obviously your voice, and extracting that piece of audio.
Maybe 3 weeks ago, and that's why you've gone right into the record books.
Yeah, and unfortunately I started at episode one, season one, so listen to 2.5 years of content when it was a couple of weeks ago, as you just told me.
That's why you're a bit tired tonight.
Yeah, but there we go. We are rocking the Casbolt, and Carlton are flying.
Shit. The Magoos. The Magoos. The Magoos. The Magoos.
Benny, we are here again in Studio 5, the ever revolving door of
Studio E. I think we go with
letters, don't we? Studio A, B, C, and now D and E. I almost stuffed up the alphabet there, but it is a little bit unnerving that it's your bedroom.
It is, and we are recording on top of ironing board.
An ironing board, but that's okay. We don't claim to be some big budget production.
No, but I do actually have some news coming a bit later in the show, Jake.
Interesting.
Potentially a Studio F.
Studio F.
Watch this space. You'll have to stay tuned for that one.
I haven't told you. Well, there you go. I'll be excited to understand what that might be about, because I've got no idea. But one thing, you and me don't talk a lot outside of the podcast, Ben, but we did touch base Saturday night, because those Mighty Baggers, they won the Magoos Cup and by the narrowest of margins knocked off your Bombers. It must have just been a heartbreaking experience for you.
To be honest, it wasn't heartbreaking, the loss. It always pains me to lose to Carlton, anyone but Carlton. The week before, I was just talking to other Essendon supporters, and not even talking about, you know, how do you reckon we go on the weekend, but just talking about the future. Just talking about, you know, how it could be bright, those sort of things. Those sort of things that you get too ahead of yourself. Not the whole two and zip, but you're just like, you look at our back line, you look at the structure, you know, we're missing a tall forward, yes, but, you know, the ball's rolling in the right direction. And then post-Saturday night, I'm just not a footy supporter anymore, Jake. I just think
Johnny Worsfold's checked out, hasn't he?
I think so. Yeah, I think Rutten has been taking the reins in the background for a while, which I don't mind. Like,
it's fine
with me. But I think it's getting to the point, Jake, where I'm becoming in my mind a little less You know, got the rose-coloured glasses on. No, I'm still invested, but I'm thinking we need some big change at the club in terms of players and.
Wow. Well, I'm looking at Essendon's list and I'm seeing it's a now prospect, isn't it?
Exactly. So we're losing to Carlton by 1 point. No offence, I think you guys are on the up, but it's just not good enough.
I think that, you look at Essendon and there is McGrath, Parrish. There was someone else who I thought of the other day who's a promising young player. Doesn't matter.
Yeah.
But there is sort of that next generation, but you're looking at your main core, and I think if you're looking at your Hurley's, Smith, Shield.
Not quite Smith, I think, but yes.
They are in that now bracket. Yeah. They aren't in the...
Well, I think Hurley's past that now, right?
Yeah, I really rate Hurley, but it's amazing that a lot of Essendon people don't.
I rate him, and he's been an unbelievable serviceman, but it's getting to that point where do we play Zirk Thatcher and roll the dice with, get... I just think we, as a club, are always in denial where we're at.
Mm.
We think we're in this window, and definitely without a key forward, we are not.
I think you could be in the window, but you just never seem to, arrive. You always seem to be sort of like, and you'll win, you'll be, I know it's a short season this year, but you'll be 10 and 12 or 11 and 11 and you'll either just make or just miss.
Yeah.
You sort of seem to be treading water. But that doesn't really bother me because we've beaten you for another year and we won't have to play for 12 months.
And I was thinking about you throughout. And you guys did your absolute bestest, if that is a word, to
lose it.
To lose it.
That's every week.
I'd heard it from Carlton supporters, friends of mine, the week before about the Geelong. I didn't actually catch the Geelong game, but they said we absolutely did our best to lose it again. And I'm like, nah, you guys just say that. But then I could not believe that it was all square at three-quarter time, and then we got two goals up in the last. I was like, this is ridiculous. We do not deserve this at all. You guys were a six-goal plus.
I was watching with a good mate of mine, and towards the end of the third quarter he said, this feels like if we get in front we'll win, and I said I totally agree, we've held you at bay, and if you get it, and then they kick the first two goals last quarter, I thought, here we go, we're going to lose by seven goals, this will be our terrible quarter, and then the way that Carlton showed a little bit of intestinal fortitude and just stuck on and then turned it around. That's the thing. I mean, I hope it's the next stage of the development, is that they're five or six goals up in those circumstances and can maintain that. Yeah. But, and now we've been moved to the Thursday Night Lights against St Kilda. And
all you have to do is beat the Bombers by a point and you get put on Friday Night Lights.
And, I mean, we as easily as we probably should be 3-1, we could easily be zipping four. So it's a fine balance in footy, isn't it?
Yeah, and it absolutely is. But what was the disappointing for me overall? Nothing to necessarily do with either club. The overall look of the crowd numbers were depleted. Just to look for the game, obviously involved in an inbox with just a lot of friends who love the footy, all looking forward to this game. Probably halfway through the game, they all clocked over to Gold Coast Fremantle, which, if you just look at it from a bird's eye view, you're talking about Carlton versus Essendon, which is just a rivalry, a tradition of its own, and all these bipartisan viewers are like, I'm going to go watch Gold Coast Fremantle. That, to me, was that was a bit of a dagger. That was more of a dagger than Essendon losing. It just said...
I mean, there has been a lot of conversation, obviously, this week about the state of the game, and it seems very cyclical that comes up again. Technically, it's still the same time of year, but it's only round four now, given the shutdown. But the state of the game conversation always sort of bothers me because, I think thinking about all the games that I watched on the weekend, I think I watched them all. Obviously, except the Gold Coast Fremantle. I didn't watch that because Carlton were playing at the same time.
You bring a notepad here with four dot points on it and you watched every game.
Every game, yeah. Yeah, it shows how well I'm going. It's just not that interesting. But we did pop a Twitter poll out on the Magoo socials, just as a little wading into the waters of the state of the game without getting fully engrossed in the argument. And we just asked a simple question: what would you rather see, your team winning or your team playing attractively? Because I had the sort of thought, and there's been a little bit of sort of Twitter feedback around some of the state of the game conversations around I don't notice Carlton playing badly. if when I'm watching, like I notice them turn the ball over and I notice those sort of things, but I don't sit there and go, gee, this has been a bad game. Yeah. Like I was watching Melbourne Geelong with a mate on Sunday and he like jokingly apologised because of how bad the game was. And even then I was like, it's low scoring, yeah, but like it was quite tactical and, you know, like especially seeing Geelong the week before how their positive sort of brand didn't work against Carlton and they got cut open by sides, probably not going to make the finals. Yeah. They obviously couldn't afford to do that again and they locked it down. And but I think that as long as your team's winning, I don't care how Carlton play. Like how Sydney won the grand finals under Paul Ruse, whatever. If you're winning, it doesn't matter. And you know, and to have like Alistair Clarkson come out, like, so I think to be real with the whole situation, like that teams aren't training together. There's no.
So when he came in, so they had what was 69 tackles or something.
Yeah,
like
and there
that.
Was no and free kicks no out of them out or something. Yeah, and so and you know, bemoans the state of the game and the product, whatever. And I just think that, like spare me, Clarko. Seriously, like you've. Like he invented this for the record too. Like I mean, if you go back and tell poor little 16-year-old Jake, he's almost a man. It's 16, but you know, Brendan Favola's on 99 goals, and he puts five blokes on him, you know, and floods their back line.
Oh, to knew something deep into this.
Well, it's like, you know, he caught and his style, you know, the cluster, all that sort of stuff, you know, became what the blueprint people wanted to follow. And now that he might not have the cattle that he did before and he can't, you know, outthink teams and then breeze away to a 5-goal win, all of a sudden it's the state of the game's fault, you know, if that's the product. Well, I think that, like, I don't think I've known too many people who sides have won and they've gone, I'd rather see him play a more attractive brand of footy. Like, who cares?
Mm.
Winning's winning and losers can please themselves.
Well said. You've thought about this.
I have.
See, I was very surface level when that came out because I was like, yeah, I guess whatever. Like, I didn't watch the game, so I was like, 69 tackles, no free kicks. I'm like, yeah, he's probably got a point.
And I was also angry. I actually sort of half agreed with the point because I had a same game multi on that match.
Gamble responsibly.
I always gamble responsibly. Yeah. Although you will see that Lachie Neal's into $4 now after the Brownlow after sevens last week when I told our Magoo's viewers to get on.
On Lachie Neal? You did too. You did too.
He's now into fours after having sevens last week.
We could talk about another bloke who's coming again, but that's for later in the show.
But yeah, in that state of the game argument, I had the total match score to be over 132 or something, whatever it was, and it was under, and it was the only one of 12 legs that I missed in that game. That was disappointing. But then, for the coach to then come out and beg the state of the game, I said, well, open it up then, Clarko. Let the boys play. Let them score, and that's everyone's happy. Yeah, but wasn't to be.
But then were you surprised as well that Gill came out and pretty much, after everything that else is
poor
going on
Gill,
with,
man.
With COVID and everything that they're going through, he came out to have a press conference to agree with him to say, yeah, look, it is a state of the game. We probably should play some more free kicks. But it's such a subjective game, and it's such a subjective if this, then what in terms of like literally the ball shape is a matter of who knows where it's going to bounce.
Yeah.
So that in itself changes it to every other sport in the world just about with a circular ball.
Yeah.
So like you just like you. Put this band-aid on that rule, not something else pops up. We've been doing this for years.
It's a 360 game. So how many other sports are like that where you it's the exact reason why it's really hard to make a good video game for AFL.
Well,
because
true.
Of
and unless
compared
they made
to
it circular and just sort of had a soccer ball but football rule. But
I guess
so what you're telling me is the game's gone soft, but that's what I'm hearing from you.
Not really.
No, that's all I'm hearing, because I know you'd wanted to scoop right over the Carlton Essendon talk, and more importantly, the Zach Merritt suspension. Jake.
Yep.
What is going on there?
Yeah.
What's actually going on there?
The problem, as we have said for a long time when we spoke about Sean Burgoyne a few weeks ago, is that the result of the action is what contributes to the punishment, and that's wrong. Like, it's wrong that
it's wrong for many reasons, and it's only going to come out sooner or later that there'll be a specific scenario that contradicts that theory. And I think this is pretty much one of those.
Yeah, the thing, I mean, you know, he obviously got, and I also don't agree with the criticism of Jack Silvani. It's not
as
if one he was faking.
I haven't criticised Jack myself. Not his fault. He's got crap ribs. Yeah. Like, that's very unfortunate.
And the force was obviously, like, enough to do that. But, like, if he punches someone with stronger bones or a more muscular section there, yeah, or, you know, like, he doesn't get suspended. But, I think just don't understand. Don't bring up Darren Millburn. Don't bring up that.
No, not Darren Millburn. But I reckon if we go back to the 1993 grand final where Soss apparently allegedly touched the ball
on the line.
I reckon that was him complaining about his arthritis. I don't reckon that was...
Did you pre-write that down? Is that what you wrote down? A little bit of premeditated material to throw the Silvanis under the... Yeah, merit very stiff.
Very stiff. What I found funny, I know you love talking about Essendon nuffies, but there are some absolute Carlton nuffies out there too.
Oh, God, yeah.
They're on that hill the whole time saying, nah, deserves a week. Jack comes out and says stiff that he got a week, and he actually was... It was like, I thought it was really well said by Jack. And then those same Carlton people are like, nah, Jack's wrong. He still deserves a week.
Should still be in hospital. He's not thinking straight.
Yeah. The whole thing's just a bit. But my favourite one was on one of our favourite pages again. Nuffies on AFL.
Thank you for the content.
This one came out after the photo of Zach hitting Jack Silvani. The quote was, it didn't look so bad. So that tells me that it was some kind of martial arts hit. Only a certain person trained in that kind of thing can deliver to cause that much damage.
I actually saw a few
karate
related one. No, yeah. I saw a different one, which I might be able to get up because I tagged an Essendon friend of mine in it.
Well, you look for that. Just, my favourite comment underneath that was a rebuttal. So these ones, it's obvious that these don't deserve a rebuttal, right? Because it's a nuffy thing. It's like the context is there that obviously someone in their right mind wouldn't actually suggest that. So the comment under it was, what a dickhead. I know martial arts and that is just a dumb remark. Thanks.
Here's the one that I found. In karate, the strike Jack sustained is considered a hook punch with the front two knuckles. There's no protection around the ribs. That strike was never going to hit the ball. It was meant for inflicting damage to the body. And it's like,
the argument that it was never going to hit the ball, no one's arguing against that. Yeah.
Merritt just should have had his hand open, like, you know.
Yeah, as Jack Silvani said, this happens 30, 40 times in a game.
Mm.
I tried to explain this to Molly, my partner, obviously, and she's actually in the Allied Health, and she actually was a trainer at a local club for a while. So she's the very opposite. So she thinks if someone's injured, then you're a piece of shit.
You shouldn't have done it.
So I tried to explain. I'm like, this doesn't deserve a week. I showed her, and she's like, hey, what happened to him? I said, oh, cracked ribs. And she was like, you know, I can't stand with you on that.
You knew. Although just before we have a quick break, I just wanted to say that Zach Merritt does have form for punching. He punched Lachie Plamen in the stomach a year or two ago. So maybe just unclench your fist, Zach, would be my advice.
Yeah.
And enjoy the week off.
That's fair enough. Yeah, against Collingwood, thanks, Zach, when we don't need you.
Which we will preview very, very shortly.
Let's get into that.
Mm. All right, Benny, our favourite time of the week. It's the Game of the Week conference call. And it was easy this week. Two of the biggest sides in the game, a top eight clash. Your boys, the Bombers, are up against Collingwood Friday night footy at the MCG, which means we welcome in regular Collingwood supporter Matt and Fresh Magoo's guest.
Yeah.
Because he's not a viewer or a listener. He's in. He's on the line. Lockie, who is an Essendon supporter. Welcome, gentlemen.
Hey, boys.
Hello, Jake. Ed.
First of all, Lockie, sucked in. Go Blues.
I thought it was a coincidence that you'd asked me on the show for the first time just after coming to be
there. No such thing as a coincidence. So, 5th versus 8th. Neither team can really afford two losses in a row. Matt, we'll start with you. You couldn't get over GWS last week. Again, we seem to be a little bit of your hoodoo side. How do you see this week playing out?
They are becoming the hoodoo side a little bit. I thought we'd do our best to kick our way out of it, particularly in the last quarter. And then I was deeply saddened Friday night with Jeremy Howe's injury. So, look, happy to come up against the Bombers this week, particularly after losing to your mob over the weekend, Jake, and I'm just not sure Carlton's going that well. So happy to take on the Bombers Friday night, that's for sure.
Yeah, very, very meaty train there, I reckon. Yeah. Lockie, what do you reckon? Usually we play, you know, no disrespect to Jake and Carlton, but we always come down to their standard when they play us, but then we beat ourselves up. We're not up to it, and then we always come up against like a Collingwood or something like that, and we then bring it. So, do you think that'll be the case again this week?
Well, I hope so. I'm usually pretty quietly optimistic. I think you're right. We do tend to just kind of play the standard we need a player. But after last week, I don't know. It just looked like we can't really get our hands on the ball. When we get it, we're all right. But just contest the ball, I was just struggling a bit. So I'm a little bit worried with Collingwood with midfield now they're playing at the moment, but it's a win-win. Either we get done like everyone thought we will, or we put up a contest, hopefully.
Yeah, that's insightful stuff there, Lockie. Thank you. Just just pop down off the fence at any stage if you want to actually maybe take a side. Matt, you mentioned Jeremy Howe. How do Collingwood possibly cover the loss of who is probably the most influential backman in the game?
We can't, Jake, is the short answer.
Give us the long answer.
Hopefully Lyndon Dunn will pop back. Either that or Matt Schoenberg's going to need to stand up. But it's certainly going to change the dynamic of a bloke across halfback who stands on a bloke's fence for fun and not have that anymore is going to hurt us a bit. But I guess one soldier down, another soldier up is putting into them this week.
Do you do a straight swap so someone just takes that position, or do you put someone?
You got to shuffle the decks there.
Hey,
you got to shuffle the decks a little bit.
Shuffle the decks, put maybe Moore in that position because he's been playing absolutely unbelievably this year as well.
He certainly has, Bob. And I tend to think that that Dunny and Schoenberg could probably be somewhat in that set mould. Obviously, not nearly as good as what Howie has been through this year, but I reckon one of those two will probably pop in for him this week would be my guess.
Yeah, makes sense. And Lockie, we've already discussed it here, but I would be interested in understanding a grassroots Bombers supporters' view of Merritt suspension. He'll obviously be missing this week. What'd you make of that?
It was interesting. I think it's pretty quick to call Zavani soft as butter when it first came up, and then he just kind of spent one on the bench and then all of a sudden he was in hospital. So I think with the result he was always going to get a week with a bloke ending up in hospital, but there wasn't much in it, was there? What do you guys think?
We've already had our view on it, so you will just have to download and have a bit of a listen rather than rehash it.
First time on a podcast, sorry.
That's okay. So Lockie, the Bombers. I didn't hear what you said.
What did you say?
I didn't hear what you said. The Bombers, they're a curious case. We sort of discussed them a little bit earlier, but where are they at in your eyes? You're a long-term supporter. You are as dedicated to the Bombers as I know of anyone. Where do you think that they're at genuinely?
I'm always pretty optimistic, but I think we've got some good young players, but I think we're a fair way off it. We're kind of a bit stuck in between. We've got some good veteran players and then some good younger players coming through now with not many in between, I feel. I think we kind of stacked up this year and stuff thinking we were a bit better than we were, but you never know. With Richmond and the Bulldogs and stuff, teams just kind of pop out of nowhere, so you never really know.
Yeah, it's a fair point. I do agree. Do you think there comes a time, though, for an Essendon supporter? And I'm sort of been grappling it with the last few days, is do we just try something completely different? And some of these blokes who have a couple of good years left, do we potentially put them up for trade and you know, do a Port Adelaide and get some high draft picks and get some young life back into the club? Because I truly don't think the list, I mean, if a fully healthy list with in Danaher included, then it could be damaging. But what are the chances of that happening? Do you think we just sort of keep going with it the way we're going, or do we have to try something else?
Yeah, I'm not really one to just throw out all the old players and go straight to, because I feel like you need some experience on field and stuff and Hurley and Hooker and all that. I think you're right, it'd be a different ball game if Danaher was healthy and playing, and the list would look a lot different if that was the case. I think we've done all right with a few young rookies coming through, so I think if we just keep kind of plugging away at that, maybe stay off the the free agents of the area was because we're probably not in that striking zone yet. But I think just keep going the draft with what we got. I think that really looks good. Francis, obviously McGrath taking another step, but so I think we're on the right track.
Yeah.
All right, Matty Haynes, I know that you are a big same game multi man. So chuck us a couple of legs to whack in for this Collingwood Essendon game and close us out with a tip too.
For all your loyal listeners, about the point that I'm no way, shape, or form a multi-man, unlike yourself. But if I was to be side bottom or bounce back, so that'll be 20 plus for him. I'd go another 20 plus for Pendles and Will Hoskin Elliott to kick a couple of goals. And I think the Pies will do it by about 4 or 5 goals on Friday night.
There you go, Lockie. Your tip for Friday night's game.
I'd probably say about the same. Hopefully it's a close one, but Collingwood by a few goals.
You could have just
said Essendon. We'll get about 40 against us, so.
We need to dig back into the
battle. Same game multi too.
Who was that one? Sorry, we're bagging you over the top.
Yeah, thanks. I said side bottom Ben would always get about 80 combined touches against us, so.
Yeah, that's
pretty
safe.
25
plus in the same game multi.
Right, there you go. So it's going to be Collingwood. It's unanimous here. That
quick other tip. The real game of the week, Brisbane Port. Who do you boys tip out of those two?
Where is that?
Gabba. Yeah.
Start thinking about the hubs.
Brisbane. They look bloody good. Yeah. I don't know. Port haven't really beat anyone good yet. I'd kind of back in Brisbane.
Okay. Well, they flogged West Coast on the weekend. So.
Yeah, we know you tipped them to be top two this year.
Yep. Well, everybody knows that. It almost goes unsaid, but we have to keep saying it. Gentlemen, good luck Friday night to both of you, even though Lockie's obviously going in with incredibly low hopes. Thank you for joining the Magoos podcast, and we'll speak to you both soon, I'm sure.
Thanks, boys. So, Jake, I often we get a housemate of mine and very good friend of the show.
Hey, long term, I'm going to say that I knew Sam before you knew Sam.
Yeah, you might have. Okay, but I didn't realise it was a competition.
No, well, it is. I'm Sam's better friend.
Before we cut to Sam, though, he's been on quite a few times, whether it's the conference call or we just have him on a...
He's just floating around.
I think we had one in the middle of season one of... Sam's
he was at the window or something. I also remember him sitting there and giving feedback when apparently we wanted the live audience feel and he was just yelling stuff out. I'll sit here quietly and just watch you guys, and then he started like abusing us.
So we actually have had feedback of people saying they love Sam's expression and his authenticity. One thing's for certain, if you ask Sam a question, you're going to get Sam's like what he truly
unfiltered.
Was thinking. Unfiltered is a good word for it.
Thank you.
So I decided, and he was like, and he's sort of honestly been bugging me about coming back on a few times. So I thought, all right, we'll give you a segment. Don't know what we're going to call it. We could just call it Sam's Minute or something like that, because Sam,
like Minute Man, Minute Sam.
I like that.
It's going to be quick. It's
the British are coming. Yeah.
I'm giving you your limelight that you've asked for. I've said I'll give you 60 seconds, and you can talk about any topic, football, sport related, and after 60 seconds,
the siren goes and you're done.
Yeah, the siren goes. How do you feel about that?
I don't think I've got anything in the tank.
Your time starts now, mate.
Oh, I promised a big. I didn't promise anything, but I'm a bit. Had a few day beers today, so I'm a bit head going, but. One point of contention, was I barking on to come back on?
15 maybe. Seconds down.
Maybe. Do I only listen to the podcast that I'm on? Maybe. Yeah. Maybe. But I don't have anything to talk about.
What? You told me you had a concept.
I did. Well, I was thinking... I was thinking in the 1970 grand final, 1970 grand final, I think the Collingwood come back. What were the guys thinking when, was it Baratti, the coach? He just said, guys, we're going to handball. It wasn't it wasn't a rock solid concept back then. What were they thinking when, like, was, I don't know. That was my concept.
Your concept is that he just came out and said, I have nothing to back this up. We're just going to start handball.
It was an established, like, field of playing a footy, but, like, were they, like, exactly, like, are you sure this is going to work in the biggest game?
Sam, thanks for joining us. We'll try again.
Thank you, boys. Thank you.
And we're really going to hope for something maybe a little bit more
thought through for minutes, Sam.
The handball, look it up.
It might be 30 seconds next week.
Sam's minute handballing, is it good or bad?
You tell me. You decide, Australia.
Oh, I'm getting a schnitzel burger. All right.
All right, Benny, we've got one of our favourites on the Magoos joining us again now. The loyal listeners will remember last year we had Brisbane fanatic Jack on the line. You were 10 then, Jack. How old are you now?
11.
11. That's how time works, well, Ben. Look at how was your 11th birthday?
Yeah, that was a very fun time.
Oh, nice. What'd you do for it?
I can't remember.
Oh, but gee, it must have been really fun. So, mate, the Lions have started the season well. They're third on the ladder. You'd have to be happy with the start of the season, wouldn't you?
Yeah, I'm very happy, as the Brisbane Lions have been not the greatest while I've been alive. So hopefully we can continue that form.
That's a very good point. And you did come in, obviously, into this world after their 2000 to 2003, arguably four. Being the greatest team probably ever.
Yeah.
You can be stiff, guy. I'm a bit the same with Carlton because, you know, I mean, it's been almost 28 years now of peril, Jack, so...
But, Jack, we're not here to get Jake emotional. We're here to ask you a couple of questions. So, obviously, your boys are off to a flyer. Did you have a bit of worries after round one? Obviously, you went down to the Hawks.
Yeah, I thought we played... very ordinary that week, and I just hope that we didn't do a Melbourne.
Do a Melbourne. That's a fair call. That's a very good call.
I was sort of hoping that you would do a Melbourne, but you've sort of proved me wrong.
Yeah, but Jake likes to make some pretty bold calls, so it's not often hard to prove him wrong, Jack. Speaking of, actually though, Jake did make a bold call last week, and it could be a good one. He said last week that Lachie Neale will win the Brownlow. What do you think?
I think he will definitely, unless McCluggage steals a few votes off him, but...
Well, speaking of McCluggage, last week, between him and Lachie Neale, they kicked one goal, 11 between them. Imagine how much he would have beaten the Crows by if they had kicked straight those two. How wasteful.
Yeah, he could have been second on the ladder.
Absolutely.
And I mean, if Lachie Neale had to kick six goals straight, he would have had the Brownlow summed up by round four, I reckon.
Yeah. Definitely.
Yeah, but that was all last week. We've got this week, and probably, I would say, the best game of the round, Jack. You're playing Port Adelaide at the Gabba, which is definitely beneficial to your boys. How do you think you're going to go?
It's definitely going to be a good game, but I reckon Harris Andrews can lock down Cam Dixon, and I reckon we can get the win.
It's very interesting. Certainly... A finals preview. I reckon both teams will probably find themselves in the top four, you would think. Now, last question for you, Jackie boy, and I'm a little bit hesitant in asking this because we know that Charlie Cameron's your man. You love the motorbike, the baby shark, and all that comes with him. And I know it's only early in the season, but there's a few little trade rumours is that he might be looking to come to Victoria. How does that sit with you, mate?
If we're playing finals, maybe for the next couple of years, he should stay.
But you need to understand, mate, that the draw of coming to Carlton and playing with Paddy Cripps, it has to be weighing on his mind, doesn't it?
Well, he's got Lachie Neale.
There we go.
Jim McCluggage.
He's got, there's two stars.
Over one
star.
Over my one star. So you guys win. And both those guys can kick too.
Even as an Essendon supporter, I do hope he does stay, Jack. I think there's something brewing there in Brisbane, I think, and it's really, really good to watch.
Yeah, I'm loving it.
You're pretty tight with him, aren't you? You could just flick him a message and say, look, Charlie, you know, I'll send you up some pocket money, stay in Brisbane sort of thing. Yeah, I agree. All right, Jackie boy. Well, good luck for the Lions, both this weekend and moving forward. I'm sure that we'll catch up with you on the show later in the season as the Lions are preparing to play finals once again. So thanks for joining us, and we'll speak to you soon, mate.
Okay.
Thanks, Jackie.
See ya.
Thank you, mate. I'll speak to you soon. Benny, you know what that means? There's some hot news coming off the wire.
Off the press. It's not often we're in the same room together when there's press releasing.
Breaking news. So we have had our Game of the Week conference call already, and Collingwood fan Matt alluded to the fact that Pendlebury and Sidebottom love to play against the Bombers.
Yeah.
And Essendon fan Lockie confirmed. But what we're now hearing... is that Steel Sidebottom and Lyndon Dunn have both breached the COVID protocols and will be suspended for Friday night's game versus your boys, the Bombers, as we recording.
That's massive. I'm taking this in as a fan.
Things don't usually happen while we're on air.
Absolutely. And Steel Sidebottom absolutely loves playing the Bombers. Like, make no mistake, he always has it.
Fills his boots. So does that just tip the scales in the Bombers' favour?
It does right now, but who knows, by tomorrow, if Eddie McGuire's got his hands on this and he's asked a few people around, that he might try and squash this or find some reason out of it. No good?
Yeah, so there you go. So there's a big announcement for the show. But Ben, you alluded off the top that you had a big announcement that would rock the core of this show. Are you...
Huge announcement.
Huge, Jack. Massive. I'm just going to roll back and let you take over.
No, well, I need your input because...
Okay, I'm rolling back in.
Because I can't just talk. I'm not doing a Sam's Hot Minute. So at the start of the show, we said this is what, Studio E?
E.
Technically correct. D. It's the same house.
No, different. No, you can't broadcast from the same building and have different, you know.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, this is
I don't know. I've never been into a broadcast building. Does one building have different studios today within it? Is that how it works?
Yeah, like SEN would have, you know, four or five different studios.
Okay, right. Well, I've been doing a little bit of investigating and a little bit of, you know, some high roller.
Some brown nosing, if you will.
Well, it depends. Depends how you look like.
How much is it going to cost me?
It's not going to cost you a cent. It's out of my pocket. It's something that I've been looking at for a little bit now, and something that potentially could be part of a French British shitstorm, or it could be something that could be quite fun to do.
Great.
What I've done, Jake, is I went onto eBay and I bought a gutted out caravan.
You're kidding.
No jokes. A 1984 Viscount Sovereign GT. And it's already been gutted. The bloke couldn't be bothered restoring it back to health. So picking it up this weekend, bringing it back to Thornbury, and who knows, it might take a month or two to get the materials, and you know, but it's going to be the idea is that to turn into a little podcast here.
Incredible. We could do a little roadshow, couldn't we?
We could.
We could attach it to the back of the wagon and then just record podcasts all over.
I mean, the state borders won't let us in, so maybe just within Victoria.
But... And we probably won't go to like Ascot Vale or Keel or anywhere like that. We might just avoid them. But look out. You've shelled out for a shell of a caravan. Where do you think you'll park it? On the street here or down
there? In the backyard. I want to keep it inside. But basically just the setting up and packing down of equipment.
I mean, I wouldn't leave things in it overnight.
Well, you know, I'll lock it up. I mean, that's not something we should just go on there. I'll definitely move things overnight and lock them up. But yeah, just something that can be just an actual... Somewhere that you can go and talk footy and whatever.
I'm looking forward to it. You know what I'm looking forward to? Those foam... drop your penny in.
Yeah.
I'm looking forward to those foam things that you can get on the walls, to really like encapsulate the sound.
Yeah.
That's the one thing I'm looking forward to.
And some thick drapes, thick curtains. So,
drapes?
Yeah. Well, purple drapes. I like purple drapes. Because I think both work. But yeah, it's going to be just a nice little space just... dedicated to that. Might put a TV in there so you can watch the footy TV.
You know what you could do? You could hire it out as a podcast studio for others.
Well, that is the plan down the track, but then I do have to get it, the roadworthy and the tick off approval.
I just mean hire it out for other people to do a podcast in, so they could come here and...
Oh, they can come here, but you know, it could be a mobile service.
Yeah, podcast too. To you.
Yeah.
Hey, huge announcements, back-to-back, Sidebottom into caravans. Yeah. We might as well wrap this one up.
Let's do it. But before we do, our narrative, Jake, this is just falling into our hands, just lastly. February 24, we played it last week. Your bold prediction, just for those who are listening for the first time, your bold prediction.
Port Adelaide to make the top two.
My bold prediction.
Gold Coast to make the top eight. Huge.
They're sitting 1 and 2.
1 and 2.
At the end of round 4.
When were people going to stand up and take notice? Because we obviously know our stuff. And granted, though, it's only been sort of 4 rounds. But I'm more than happy to say that, I mean, I still don't think the Gold Coast will. But as long as Charlie Dixon is playing for Port Adelaide,
they are
borderline unstoppable. Yeah. It'll be a great game this week, as we heard with Jackie Boy's Brisbane Lions.
Cracking game. A few good games on this weekend.
Yeah, well, as the season sort of starts to take shape, it gets to that, oh, gee, you wouldn't want to lose there. You don't want to go X and Y or whatever. But I do need to just give a quick little apology. Because the Western Bulldogs have sort of stuck it up me the last couple of weeks.
I've tipped in both weeks too.
That's what we didn't talk about. We didn't talk about my backwards footy tipping.
Oh, that worked out all right for you.
No, it didn't work out. Because you know what it was? It just ended up being the opposite. I probably would have got like 4 or 5 and ended up getting 4 or 5. So like, I got 3 actually, yeah.
I know it started off terribly, but you got a couple, didn't you?
Well,
please tell me you tipped Carlton at least.
Yeah, I tipped Carlton because, as I said last week, I would always tip them against Essendon. Yeah. And
who else did I say?
Essendon, Collingwood and Richmond I always tip them against. But so I tipped Sydney against the Bulldogs, but I would have tipped them anyway. I was comfortable with that.
Yeah.
And then I tipped the Giants against Collingwood.
Mm.
And then during the day I was panicking because I got the Sydney one wrong. I thought, I can't tip against Collingwood. I'm going to go against my word that I said on this show last week, and I'm going to flip it around and I'm going to tip Collingwood. And they got beat, so I got my comeuppance straight away. Tipped West Coast against Port because it was the opposite of what I wanted. Got that wrong. Tipped St Kilda against Richmond, which was my first tip for the weekend, which was good. I wouldn't have tipped that regularly.
So you stuck with that though, even though you were zipping 3.
Yeah, because I just thought I'm just gonna keep going. We'll see where it ends up. Tip Carlton, I wanted to tip Freo, who got edged out by your boys, the Suns. Refused to tip Adelaide because Brisbane were obviously immoral.
Yeah,
and that was the case. Melbourne almost got over the line against Geelong in the opposite tips, and then North Melbourne just lost as well. So
hey, that's tipping for you though.
That's tipping. Probably got significantly more if I had have gone with what I thought. Yep. But you know.
Yeah, so don't listen to me.
That's footy. Let's see who I tip this week.
Top 8 predictions.
Yeah, because we know all.
Jake, you have been fantastic as always in Studio E.
I'm looking forward to Studio F.
Yeah.
Roadshow.
Well, yeah, might even buy a table and not have an ironing board.
It could like fold down maybe from the wall of the table. Save space in the caravan.
Yeah. How much money do you think I have?
I don't know. I hope you haven't invested at all in the Charlotte caravan.
Guys, give us a like, share, subscribe.
All the fun stuff. If you see any of our things on the socials, get around them.
Nominate enough,
which has been, we've been overflowed at the moment, but we could still always use a few more. We'll see you next week on the Magoos, where hopefully Carlton will be 3 and 2.
Lovely, Jake.
The Magoos. The Magoos. The Magoos. The Magoos.